I was asking God, what does he want to say to us this morning? And I felt him say, talk to them about unity. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started looking in the Bible, because it's a very good place to start, as the song says. And unapologetically this morning, I have lots of scriptures. Turns out there's quite a lot in the Bible about unity. Maybe that's because it's important. But I love the fact that it ties in with everything else that we've been saying this morning. God is speaking to us about the power of people together. When we're praying for Donna, we're talking about the power of people coming around and praying with one voice. We're talking as a six about... And God's been showing us about an us, about building an us, and not about our team as a six, just that, but as an us, as a whole body. So that's why I believe God wants to talk to us about unity today. Unity is important because it commands a blessing. If you look right back in Deuteronomy, at the point at which that the people were given the Ten Commandments, God said, obey my commandments and there will be a blessing for you. And what are the most important commandments? Jesus was asked, and he was told, love the Lord your God and love each other. They are the important things. So if you look in Deuteronomy, I've given Dave loads of scriptures. I also haven't told him that I'm in the New Living, and he's almost certainly not. So, you know. And I forgot my reading glasses. So don't all leap at me with reading glasses, because they'll all be too strong probably. I've got baby reading glasses. So I may read off the screen, I may read off my Bible, but we'll see where we go. So in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16, it says, I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, laws, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and become a great nation. And the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. If we do the basics, God told us, love me, love each other. And that commands a blessing. So if we pursue unity as a body, as people, it commands a blessing on our lives. You will live in increase. The Lord God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Why else? Unity brings power when we pray together. As we did this morning when we prayed for Donna, and as Jesus taught in Matthew 18, Matthew, hear his name. Matthew! I tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together, because they are mine, I am there among them. Praying in unity brings power to that prayer. God is in the midst when we do stuff together. When we pray together, he is there, and that brings power. Thirdly, when we are united, God will pour out his glory on us. John 17. Told you I wouldn't do these in order, Dave, didn't I? 20 to 23. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. That's us. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one, Father. That just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Us in God, God in us in unity. Jesus said that if we are in unity, if we pursue that together, God will pour out his glory onto us in the way that he poured it onto Jesus. That is the power of unity. But also, that glory gives us the strength for unity. I'll come back to that. I've got colour codes. So if we go to Acts 2, starting right at the beginning, on the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them his ability. They were together in one place. The believers had gathered and waited. They'd stayed together. They were together in unity. And the Holy Spirit came with power. Power like they'd never experienced before. As Chris was saying earlier, we believe that God wants to pour out his power by the Holy Spirit. That we're entering a season of signs and wonders, of miracles, of the strength and power of the Holy Spirit being really evident in our midst. That comes with unity. That came to the apostles on the day of Pentecost because they were together. It wasn't coincidence that they were in the same place. They'd been told, stay there and wait. That's what they'd done, and that's what happened. Now, the New Testament particularly is full of letters encouraging the believers to pursue unity. Paul goes on about it constantly. Jesus prays for it, as we've already said, for the believers, for the disciples and for the believers to come. Paul is always praying for people to be united. He's always teaching about unity. Why is there so much of it in the Bible? Because it's hard. Because it's not easy to live in unity with each other. The new church found it hard. The early church were always arguing, and Paul was saying, stop arguing, you need to live in unity. I often find the stuff that there's lots about in the Bible is there because it's something we probably need to hear quite a lot. We are naturally selfish people. It's not because we want to be. It's not because we are bad or sinful or choose to be me, myself, and I. Most of the time it's because we're afraid or we're insecure or we don't believe that anybody else is with us. If you don't know that your needs are going to be met, you try and meet them yourself. And that puts your eyes on yourself. If you feel afraid of any particular situation that you're in, you focus on yourself. How do I stay safe in this situation? That's why we're selfish. That's why we think about ourselves more often than we think about other people. It's not condemnation, it's fear. It's the reality of living in a world that's scary, that comes up against us and says, you're not good enough. But when we know that God looks at us and says, you are good enough, you are everything. You are everything I made you to be, and I will give you everything you need, and you never have to worry. When we know that, we have the ability to take our eyes off ourselves. And that's how we can pursue unity. When our eyes are on ourselves because we are afraid, because we don't know who our God is, it's really hard to be united with other people. That's why it takes the power of God, God's glory in us and through us, to be able to be united with others. I value efficiency. It's very important to me that things are done well and quickly and neatly. It's very easy, therefore, for me to choose not to involve other people. Because maybe they won't do it as quickly as I would do it. Probably because I'll have to show them how to do it first, and it would be much easier for me to just get on with it myself. Maybe I think my way of doing it is better than how somebody else would do it. It's definitely more efficient, because efficiency is important, so I've worked out the most efficient way of doing something. But all that does is stop me from being united with other people. If I choose to try and achieve everything I want to achieve on my own, it might get done quicker, it might get done neater, it might be more efficient, but have I allowed unity to be a part of that process? No. I've actively excluded other people. Unity will cost me something in that situation. Choosing to involve others, to work side by side, hand in hand, to do things together, that will cost me something. It will not look as efficient for me. But what is better? Does God say, I want everything to be efficient? Is the Bible full of teaching about efficiency? No. The Bible is full of teaching about unity, about being together, doing stuff together. So how do we pursue it? There's loads of stuff, absolutely loads, right the way through the whole Bible, particularly in the New Testament, because Paul spent a lot of time teaching on it. But I have picked out a handful of things that Paul said to the believers about how, well, Paul and others, I think. I can never keep track of who wrote what letter. I don't know about you. I know some of them were definitely Paul. Anyway, how do we pursue unity? What did he say to people? In 1 Corinthians, verse 10, it says, now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Avoid divisions. Do everything you can to avoid divisions and arguments between people. That means I might have to put aside the fact that I think I'm right. Because it is more important for me to pursue unity, that's what God says, than it is for me to be right. Does that mean we always have to agree? No, we don't. We absolutely don't have to agree. But we do need to think about how we present our views so that it doesn't cause division. And how we listen to each other. Romans 12:16 says something similar. Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. I like that. Don't think you know it all. In 1 Peter 3 verse 8, it says, finally, often these words from whoever's writing, usually Paul, come in the bit at the end where he says, finally. And they're not always at the end. Sometimes they're a couple of chapters from the end because he's got quite a lot to say in his finally. But finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. Full of sympathy towards each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. What does it say up there? Tender-hearted and humble attitude. Yeah, sympathize with each other. Think about other people. It seems simple, but as I said, we get ourselves tied up in a knot of, I need to look after myself, and we forget to think about other people. If we look at others around us and ask God, what's going on in their life? He knows. What's happening in their heart? How do you see them, Lord? Then we're able to see the reality of who the people around us are. That gives us the ability to sympathise, to be tender-hearted, to have a humble attitude when we see people as God sees them. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. I close my letter with these last words. See? Rejoice, change your ways, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Strive for full restoration. Heal past hurts. We've all had arguments with people. We will have all had disagreements with people. Maybe within the body, the church. Maybe outside. Maybe within families. God says, his peace comes, his love and peace will be with you when you do something about them, when you make an effort to heal those past hurts, to make full restoration, to change your mind about somebody. And my last one for that for now. Romans 12, back to Romans. Lots of good stuff in Romans. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. Do your part. Don't try and do somebody else's part. That's how we pursue unity between us. We do our bit. The thing that we are made to do. I am not made to sing or play a keyboard. trying to play a keyboard sometimes. And I like to sing, but I'm not made to do it in public. That's not my bit. I can pursue unity by doing the bit God gives me to do. Because if I try and be a foot when I'm supposed to be a hand, the whole thing will end horribly. And if we are all, as parts of the body, doing the bit that we are meant to do, the whole body works. That's what unity looks like. All the parts of the body working in harmony together. So why did God ask me to preach on unity? I touched on this a little bit earlier. Because I believe he has a blessing to pour out on this church. He wants to pour his power and his blessing and his glory into this place. This community, family, church, whatever you want to call it, has many members. It's not about the six of us. It's about the us. All of us. If you believe you are part of this, or you want to be part of it, you are part of the us. We don't all have to think the same. We don't all have to look the same. We don't all have to have the same opinions. But if we are united in our love of God and our love for each other, if we are seeking God together as a community, if we are committing ourselves to prayer, to hearing what God's saying, to sharing that with each other, to praying for each other, to loving each other, to putting our selfish needs aside, and knowing that God can deal with that, and pursuing that unity that we are taught to do, he will pour his blessing in this place. And when we are united, we are very attractive. In John 13, verse 35, it says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Your love for one another will prove who you are. And people will look at you and go, wow. I want to be part of that. And I believe that that's what God's got for this church. People will look at us and go, wow. Look what those people have got. I want to be part of that. As Pete was saying, we've got lots of ideas about opportunities to seek God in unity together over the next couple of months. We're going to have corporate times of prayer. We're going to have a great prayer and worship night, at least one.
Maybe a few.
But as he encouraged you, gather together in groups as well. Pray. Hear what God's got for us as a body, for us as a community, for us as a family. Let's be united. Let's seek unity amongst ourselves. And we may count the cost. The chairs look different today because I did it. I'm not chairs. Well, you've got chairs to sit on, so I suppose I am chairs. But it might not look as efficient. But we do it together. And that's the important thing. We go to God together. We hear God together. We follow God together. Because unity is what he says. That's the thing that brings the power, that brings the blessing. Ask God, which bit of the body am I? Am I a hand? Am I a foot? Am I a nose? How do I play my part? And how do we do this together? So I want to pray for everybody. And then I'm going to look to five other people to tell me all the things I've forgotten. So Father, thank you. Thank you that as the Trinity, you are that perfect example of what unity looks like. Humbly serving each other in complete synchronicity together. Dancing, loving, serving in unity. Father, we pray that for this place. That by your Spirit, you will give us the ability to pursue that unity with hunger. And Father, I pray that you will pour your mighty power on this place by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, what have I forgotten? Rota. Oh, I could have made a point about that in my preach, couldn't I? Are you chairs? Are you teas and coffees? None of these things are a reality of who you are as a person. You know, being a body, being a community is about lots of people doing lots of different things to make everything work. So have a look at the rota. If you've never done tea or coffee before, but you think, oh, I can do that, don't worry, we can show you how to do it. Likewise with putting out the chairs, and see, it doesn't really matter how you do it, as long as someone's got something to sit on. Media, sound, you know, anything. Put your name down, have a conversation with one of us. Don't worry, we will show you what to do. Anything else? What else? I think we're good. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you all. It's been lovely to be with you. Something about today feels slightly different. Maybe it's the responsibility. But I just pray that you all have a wonderful week and stay around and enjoy some time just being together. Thank you.